Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. It is a distinct pleasure to have with us men I've come to admire tremendously for the contributions he's making at the moment and has made for quite some time to American politics and policy, much of it, but not all, affecting our national security and certainly our national interests. He is Richard Manning. He is the president today of a wonderful group, Americans for Limited Government. Prior to joining ALG, he served as the public affairs chief at the U.S. Department of Labor during the George W. Bush administration, was with the National Rifle Association for many years, and has columns that appear in The Hill, Investors, Business Daily, Fox News, and elsewhere. Rick, it is great to have you with us, sir. I am so pleased that particularly on the day that the Japanese prime minister addressed a joint session of Congress and spoke at some length and quite volubly about the importance of this Trans-Pacific partnership, that we can do a little bit of truth squatting with you, as you've taken a very skeptical view, as have I, of this deal. First, talk with us a little bit about what this so-called TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, is shaping up to be about.
Well, Frank, thanks for having me, first of all. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is a deal that's been put together, a treaty that's been put together by President Obama and 11 other countries, including Japan. It's ostensibly a trade deal. But the challenge with it is this, Frank. It actually has about 22 sections of it have nothing to do with trade. They regulate every aspect of the world economy. So it's really what Bloomberg has called a regulatory deal, not a trade deal. And Congress is in the process of trying to decide how they're going to vote on that trade deal. Are they going to give President Obama a pathway to passage by lowering the barriers for how many votes he would need to pass it to a simple majority, both the Senate and the House? Or will they go when they require the two-thirds majority get a ratification in the Senate? That is the normal procedure for a treaty. So that's the battle that's going on right now. And having the Prime Minister of Japan speaking before Congress is part of the plan to sell America that this trade deal is a good deal.
Let's come back to the merits of it in a moment. But just, I guess, first of all, a technical question. Is the deal done? And if it is done, what do we know about what's in it? It certainly seems to me as though this has been kind of a black box, even as best I can tell for members of the Congress. Is that right?
I think that's really an accurate way of portraying it. It's a secret deal. In order to see the details of it, you have to have at least a secret clearance. It is not completed yet. It is 5.5 years in the making. And it's a deal that has been said to be about 99% completed, but it is not yet completed. As a result, it is very difficult for members of Congress to go and see it and spend time with it, take it home, figure it out. They can't have their staff look at it. And quite honestly, they're being asked to vote for a pig and a poke in terms of this deal because they really don't know what it contains. And what's more, and this is the scary part, Frank, the deal is, according to comments by Jeff Sessions, the deal is portrayed as a living document, which means that even if it had been released and we all could read it, tomorrow, after ratification, the president could in fact make changes to it without congressional consent.
Well, this certainly sounds familiar with the president rewriting things left and right, but I don't think I've ever heard of such an arrangement whereby if there are changes to agreements, I mean, there are all kinds of precedents for amending deals or even treaties, but they require a congressional involvement and approval afterwards when that happens. But Rick, what you've described here, and especially if the black box has essentially been filled and what is being, you know, negotiated in it, is something that is redolent of a crony capitalism. Who has been actually involved in the negotiations? As I understand it, it's lots of special interests, and not altogether clear that the American public's interest is being very well represented. What are your thoughts on that point?
Well, I think it's exactly on point. Many of us have been very concerned about the pervasive influence of special interests here in Washington, D.C., and the rise of crony capitalism, where the business interests have a vested interest in big government because they are essentially the enablers and the people who do the vending for big government. So you have this kind of duality that occurs. Well, those same international corporations have had their representatives at the table working on these on this deal. We know that for certain because of WikiLeaks, actually. They released some documents from Sony that specifically were talking about concerns about this deal and leveraging different people to lobby on their behalf to make changes to the deal, promising support if they got what they wanted. And lo and behold, Hollywood came out in favor of the deal just a few weeks ago. So this is a wholesale attempt to create a trade deal that because two things. Number one, other countries can join the trade deal, including China, without Congress approving it. That's number one. So you do this negotiation. China says, I want in. The president says, yep, we'll let you in. And suddenly China is part of the trade deal without congressional approval.
Bait and switch, and, as they say.
Yes. And secondly, after the fact, the politicians can rearrange benign language in the deal to make it so it has specific beneficiary impact on corporate world, but also negative regulatory impact on Americans.
Wow. So this is the living feature of it, that it could become quite the living monster. Frankenstein comes to mind. But let me just ask you, because one of the other pieces of this, and you alluded to it earlier, Rick Manning, and again, our guest is the president of Americans for Limited Government, is a so-called fast-track treatment by the Congress, which essentially would take this out of the realm, much as the Senate has just agreed to do with respect to this Iran deal, out of the realm of a treaty that would require fully two-thirds of the Senate to approve it, and essentially remand it to an up or down, take it or leave it vote by the Congress, which again seems to be more or less just a rubber stamp kind of process. Americans for Limited Government has begun running ads, as I understand it, in New Hampshire, raising concerns about this so-called Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Trade Promotion Authority, focusing on Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Rand Paul, three declared candidates for the presidency. What is the concern there, most especially with a man I've come to admire greatly, Ted Cruz, given a recent op-ed he had in the Wall Street Journal with Paul Ryan?
Well, it's very easy for Republican candidates to kind of mouth the words of free trade and talk about how important free trade is. And I agree with free trade, but I also believe that you have to actually look at what's in the treaty and not just read the headline that says, oh, this is a free trade treaty, so hence I'm a Republican, so hence I've got to support it. I mean, that's such a shallow way of looking at things. And when you look behind the curtain of what's in this treaty, you have to come to a simple conclusion. And it's one that Orrin Hatch, who supports this treaty, admitted. He said just yesterday in the Washington Times that it requires some trust. You have to trust Obama. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I've paid attention for the last 6 years. I don't know what Senator Hatch has been doing. And the one thing I know is that I can trust Obama to push his will over the Constitution. I've seen him push his will in terms of expanding climate change. I've seen the massive problems with the Iranian nuke deal, where they come up with a framework that not even the Iranians can agree with, and basically turn a blind eye to an existential threat, not just to Israel, but to our own country in terms of nuclear Iran. I see the China climate deal, that where he puts our country at an economic disadvantage with 16 years of diminishing economic capacity while letting China continue to pursue a complete economic growth model that includes burning any kind of energy they want to.
Yeah, and from which we're downwind, by the way. You could throw on the Bergdahl deal with the Taliban. I mean, there really isn't an agreement that President Obama has done that would warrant trusting him with something as important as this. And I think, Rick, I think influential thing you've said of the many important notes you've struck is this is actually a regulatory arrangement, not a trade deal. It should be considered carefully and vetted thoroughly by the Congress, in my estimation. Thank you for the work that you're doing at Americans for Limited Government to try to make that case, and I hope you'll keep it up and come back to us again very soon. And Corcoran joins us next. We'll talk about the new Europeans now washing up on Europe's shores, what that means for them and for us, and the new Americans the government here wants us to embrace. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.